listening to Nuts and Bolts, a podcast about gear and music. With some of your favorite artists, I will dive into the practicalities of how they make their work. Twisting those knobs and pushing those buttons. In today's episode, I'm talking to a bona fide Californian underground nerd, Danishta Rivero. It was at Guru's All Ears Festival that came up in last month's episode that I had the pleasure of meeting and chatting with Danishta.
I gotta remember what I do here.
Because I'm like messing up in a way your setup for the gig.
A little bit.
After this, I made her late for soundcheck. Danishta makes sound installations and improvises with voice and electronics. As a performer, her work is visceral, guttural even. There's no divide between her body and her gear, like a true cyborg, perhaps.
I guess I am involved in a couple of projects. One of them is Voice Handler. It's an electroacoustic duo with percussion, voice, and electronics. And our previous album did have the hydrophonium, right, in it.
What's the hydrophonium?
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
Voice Handler and her other duo, Las Sucias, which is noise reggaeton music, have released on Humbler Records and Ratskin Records, amongst others. Go check it out. No time to waste. Get ready to dive nose down into underwater opera, feedback, and modular synthesis.
You know, I would get feedback, but it wouldn't be just this crazy, this loop that was unending and just like whatever broke everything, you know. But
although that would have been fun.
Yeah, sure, it would have been fun. The idea for the instrument came from an installation that I made where I put these hydrophones inside light bulbs that I emptied out and filled up with water, and I kind of hung them from the ceiling, and there were a number of them and then a number of speakers around. So it was a feedback piece. Wherever your body was would alter the kind of feedback that you would hear. So, you know, your body was like a dampening object inside the space.
After that came the proper hydrophonium.
So that's this instrument that I made that uses jars that I fill with water, different levels, and I use hydrophones in the jars and run it through a Max MSP patch to tune them. So the level of water kind of tunes it to a ballpark of a frequency range, and the Max patch then allows me to create different scales with it.
Max MSP is a computer program which allows you to build your own synthesizers, samplers, and effects processors. A Max patch is what you'd call one of these instruments or constellations that you built in Max MSP.
So I usually play it like a percussion instrument. I play with mallets or combs or just, you know, scratchy, whatever. Or I can also sing into it and mostly just create textures with it.
What are hydrophones? These are the microphones that you put You put them in the water or just outside the water? How does this work?
Yeah, hydrophones are microphones that go in the water. The water is a much denser material for sound to travel with, so it operates like a contact mic.
You know how regular microphones pick up sound that moves through air, right? So a contact microphone picks up sound vibrations that move through solid objects instead.
The hydrophones that I got for the hydrophonium I got from like this old lot or something that I bought on eBay, I remember, that was super cheap, and it was, these hydrophones were used in seismic arrays, so they were used under the ocean, right, to find natural gas. There is a difference of like how sound travels through air and a difference to how sound travels through other materials, but it still travels through. So if you speak outside of the jar with the water and the hydrophone will still pick it up. This amazing book that's called Sensing Sound, and I can't remember the subtitle of it, but it's something about the voice and really treating like sound in going beyond the idea of experiencing sound only through the ears, you know. And in the first chapter, this woman who is a musicologist at UCLA talks about Julianne Snapper. She's an opera singer. She's done a lot of underwater operas. If you think of like underwater opera, maybe it's like, maybe it's a gimmicky or something. But if it's making you like really think about this, well, how does that change sound? You know, it doesn't only just make it travel faster. It also changes the quality of it, you know, and the way that we have to produce or experience it. So what does that mean, you know? I started very young singing. When I was little, I was in a choir that recorded like traditional Venezuelan songs for kids.
As a teenager, Danishta moved from Venezuela to the USA.
I came to the United States with the idea that music was not possible as like a path, you know, because I didn't start my life in a conservatory, you know, which is how you're supposed to do things. What ended up happening was that I went to school, I studied voice, and I kind of hated singing like solo classical music. I was becoming more interested in more conceptual work and like abstract, you know, atonal music, and that wasn't really accessible to me as a singer.
However, then Danishta went on to study electronic music and got immersed in all kinds of experimenting
with the voice, but also still working on computer music. You know, I learned Max, and I learned like analog electronic music instruments, you know, just like the principles behind all of these things.
The hydrophonium was a way for Danishta to integrate her vocal work into this new electronic world.
I was singing through the hydrophones, and but there were a number of reasons why I stopped playing it. One of them was that I had to carry my laptop around. My computer is very valuable to me, and it seems kind of weird to be bringing it out all the time to shows. But also, because I have trouble engaging as an audience member with performed computer music, I get a little bored. Also, you know, California was going through a very intense drought, you know, for 5 years. And I am showing up to show after show after show and filling up these giant jars of water and then just tossing that water out. You know, like, you know, we're being asked to like take shorter showers, to not flush the toilets, you know, like, why is my art any different? It's not in a vacuum. This is as, you know, as relevant as it gets, you know, like I live on this earth. And if the earth can't sustain life for much longer, then my art means nothing, you know?
So she started her new setup with a digital delay pedal.
Boss DD20.
Which was close to how she'd been using effects with the hydrophonium.
With the modular synthesizer, one thing that I wanted to do was to use the voice to control other things. So maybe like have an envelope follower or use it as a gate or something like that. All of these things that I could very easily figure out on Macs, but I wanted to stay away from the computer. This kind of setup is more performative, you know?
You could say that a modular synth is like a synth as you probably know it, but deconstructed into many smaller parts of its functioning, each of these called a module. Putting different modules together, you can custom make, theoretically, exactly what you want your synth to be able to do.
The thing with the modular synth, how it started my setup, was with basically a way to get the voice in and then have an envelope follower.
I mean, I won't ask you at every turn, but what's a gate and an envelope follower?
So an envelope follower, basically, whatever the signal you're putting in follows the dynamic level of it.
It's possible I had a somewhat difficult look on my face at this point.
All right. So we have frequency, right? That basically determines what pitch. But then besides that, we have amplitude, which determines the loudness of something. And so the envelope follower kind of like follows the amplitude of the signal that you're putting in. So if it were to follow my voice, you would see it as a continuous wave that just follows the shape of the volume of my voice. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's just me speaking for myself.
And the gate basically is signal coming in, then it's on. If signal is not coming in, then it's off. So it's just more like an open or closed door.
You know how there's all these little cables on modular synths? With those, you can connect all kinds of different elements in your rack with each other and create numerous different effects.
So I can wire this and send this envelope to some oscillators over here. And then that just means that the way you hear the oscillators will be affected by what I'm saying into the microphone. I can also, I can send the voice to an oscillator and that will modulate the frequency. I could modulate the amplitude of a sound, but I can also modulate the frequency.
Is it, would that then, for us who don't know modular synthesis, could you compare it to using a pitch shift pedal?
Yeah. No. I mean... So the thing about modulating a frequency of an oscillator with the voice is that it sounds a little bit like ring modulation, which is, you know, the like multiplying two signals and you get what it would be to add those frequencies and what it would be to subtract those frequencies. So you get these like two tones, you know, or three rather.
The original
all together.
And the added and the subtracted?
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's do this.
This is deep. I mean, we're going really deep here.
We're going really deep.
Audio demonstration for those of you who are slightly overwhelmed.
Okay, so now you hear what my voice does to this oscillator. It's set to a low frequency, so I can bring it up a little. It's But yes, so you're basically telling this oscillator to be in this other frequency, you know? But because I'm using the voice to tell it what frequency to be in, you know, then it sounds like this, because the voice is not a pure sine wave, you know? It's a very rich kind of sound. It has a lot of information, a lot of frequencies kind of come together.
Interesting, and there's so much here, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so yeah. We've got Eurorack.
Yeah,
right?
It's a Eurorack. It's kind of like a rabbit hole, right, to get into this. But a lot of these companies sell the kits. So if you have a little bit of experience soldering, then it's much cheaper than buying it made. However, you know, sometimes it's not so easy. So
you mean like that it might break sooner because maybe you didn't like solder something entirely right,
or that it doesn't work from the get-go because you didn't solder something right. Yeah. It's cool though. I mean, so this is one of those, the quad pingable LFO from 4MS. I made that one. I bought that as a kit.
4MS is a Eurorack module manufacturer from Portland, Oregon. Alyssa de Rubis, who works at 4MS, spearheaded the Synth Library in Portland, which is a space where anyone can come and try out modular synths, and there's workshops and stuff. Now, she was just in Praha the other day, where they're involved in creating the first ever European Synth Library. Continue on our tour of Danishta's rack. Oh, I mean rack in terms of the framework in which all the modules are fastened.
So this one, I mostly use it kind of like a clock, but you can have different wave shapes. Then this is a mixer. I have two mixers in this setup. Then this is just like a noise generator. These are Dopfer. I don't know how to pronounce that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the company from?
I think it's German, yeah.
Dopfer?
No, I don't know. Yeah. And then this is a mold, you know, it multiplies the signal that I'm putting in. This is like three oscillators, and then we have this Twiggy, which is two ring modulators, the mutable music things. It has a contact mic, and so it also has an envelope, but this basically you touch it and it's kind of like whatever the microphone picks up, you know, kind of like opens that envelope and closes it. This is a filter that I use with a contact mic there.
What's a filter? Well, in short, they filter out part of the sound. To put it crudely, whatever sound goes in, with the filter you can say, I'm going to saw this one's legs off, or I'm going to cut that one's head off.
This is the preamp.
The input for the voice. If you remember from last episode, that business about having to amplify the microphone signal in order to use the effect pedals, same thing, different shape.
Another mold, another mixer. This is an envelope generator. If I were to need to produce very specific, like distinct sounds, I can give them an envelope and just make them sound like like beats or, you know, like certain kinds of hits or like longer, you know.
If a filter shapes the sound vertically, in terms of what part of the frequency range joins the party, then the envelope shapes the sound in time. For instance, you can determine how your sound starts and ends.
These are generated with a clock, so it'd be a rhythmic thing. Or it doesn't have to be. I mean, there are different ways of using it, right? I can just hit it every time I want or have like a clock.
As yeah. On a pulse.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. This is Roll Your Own. All of the Roll Your Owns are you solder the kit yourself, but you buy the kit. Or you buy the components and then you make it. Then this is a series of gates that I like push gates. So every time I press on one of these buttons, then a certain sound that I have plugged into that input then gets open. It's like, it's those doors, right? The on, off, the gates. So the button acts as the, like me opening the door. And as long as I have it pressed, it is open.
And when you stop pressing it, the sound stops. On, off, gate open, gate closed. Now this is not a full coverage of Danishta's rack, because we have to leave something to the imagination, right? Let's decompress for a minute. These pedals that you have here, well, you mentioned already this Giga Delay DD20 from Boss. Mm-hmm. And then we have an Electro-Harmonix Holy Grail reverb, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I have like this very weird relationship to reverb because I hate it. I've come to the realization that I really dislike reverb. But I like to use it in weird ways. So I'm not just kind of like putting reverb on my voice and just like making it sound, you know, like I'm in a place, you know? I don't know why I said it like
what,
that.
What do you do with it?
I mostly use it like backwards and long and just kind of like play with the length of it. I don't think that reverb is a bad thing. I want to go out and say this because I think I just don't like the way, I guess, my voice sounds with it. I can't get used to it. I'm so used to the way it sounds in my head, I guess. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think that I have, like, with my voice, I have a problem with it. Then I have a tremolo, which is also Electro-Harmonix Pulsar. And I like this one because it's stereo and so it can do some cool, like, left to right thing, and also if you put the rate pretty high, then you get this weird like modulation on the voice. It sounds, you sound like a robot.
A tremolo is like vibrato on acid. It's the same wavering tone, wobbling up and down, but kind of extreme and constant. On Electro-Harmonix's Pulsar pedal, you can control the extent of the wobble, the speed, and the shape. Finally, we arrive at this golden sci-fi box that I've been working my way towards this whole time.
So this is a new toy, and It's by this company called Landscape, I guess. It's super new. It's called Stereo Field. It's very nicely designed.
Maybe we can like take a selfie with this in the background. It's like sci-fi from the 70s or whatever. Gorgeous.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it acts a little bit like a crackle box in principle, where you're kind of like making the connections between certain circuits with your body, right? By touching the plates.
I'm going to ask you to do yourself a favor and look this up online. So the golden plating of the stereo field reacts to touch, and they're connected to the circuitry of the box. Using your skin conductivity, you're then creating new circuits by touching it. You're basically patching with your hands instead of with cables.
And you basically have a left and a right side. So it's very gestural in that sense. This is just going on its own, right? It's not getting anything. It's just all the circuitry inside of itself. But I can put my voice through it, and so it gets processed with this craziness. Or I can put any other kind of signal through it. And then I can also patch it with, have some feedback stuff within itself. It's just a fun noisemaker. I got it super recently. You know, I haven't had an opportunity to sit down with it and really like, okay, we're gonna figure you out, you know?
To Nuts and Bolts. Nuts and Bolts is edited and mixed by yours truly, Jessica Slichter. Thanks to our guest, Danishta Rivero. Thanks to co-producers Anne-Gerd Grimsbu-Hoy and Susanne Christensen, and to Ragnhild Nelvik Bruset for sound technical advice. Thanks to the Norwegian Arts Council for supporting this episode of Nuts and Bolts. Find and follow us on social media. We are now officially on Instagram as well. The fourth episode of Nuts and Bolts, which is also the last of this season, will come at you on the third Thursday of June.